So we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph.
Right.
And in terms of the wide lines, again, if you have a standard Gemara, it would be the seventh line down. And we go back to the Mishnah, Aval Korin Osololoazis Belaz. There's a lot of words here in foreign languages, so I'm going to use this translation.
We're not there yet.
I'm just gonna talk a little about reading it in a foreign language, you know, for somebody who knows that language. So the Gemara asks the following: Va'amrit. We said in the Reish of the Mishnah that Kra b'chol lashon lo yotza, that you can't read it in any other languages. So Rav Shmuel, the Amri Chavayu, Rav Shmuel, the Amri Chavayu, Bila'az Yevani. That is a special status to Yevanis. In other words, you can't read it in any other language other than Yevanis. And this reflects the Shita of Shimon Gamliel back on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, who holds that you're allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in two languages, in Lashon Kodesh, or Ashuris, or in Yevanis. So Rav and Shmuel hold that since Rav Shimon Gamliel has elevated the status of Yevanis to that, equating it to that of Ivris, of Ashuris, and he derives that from Pasuk Yaftel Akim, Liefes, etc. So therefore, you're allowed to read the Megillah in Yevanis, but that's the only language that you're allowed to read the Megillah in. Hechidami, Sigmar says the following. What's the case? Again, we always get back to the problem of Baal Peh. If it's written in one language and you're translating it into another language, Ilema Diksivat Shiris Vekarele Yevanis, then Hainu Al Peh, right? By the very fact that he's translating into Yevanis, but it's not written in Yevanis, that's Baal Peh, and that's Pasul. Rav Acha Amar Rav Lazar Sheksuva Belaz Yevanis. The Mishnah that validates a Kriya B'Yevanis means that it's written in Yevanis. And as we said before, Rav and Shmuel accepted Rav Shimon Gamliel, and they allow you to write Kisvei HaKodesh in Yevanis. So now the Gemara at this point has another drasha. We spoke about this yesterday. I'm just going to skip this. Meisvei. Let's just go straight to Meisvei. We have a Braisa that explicitly disqualifies Yevanis. Kra'a giftis. Now he translates giftis into Coptic.
That the Mishnah says it's Mitzri. So it's
okay.
Coptic is in Egypt.
Okay, and then he adds Ivris. Okay, Ivris we saw yesterday, and then Elamis he translates as Elamian. Okay, this is the language of Elam. I don't know if any of these countries are around today.
No.
And then he has Modis, which is Median, and then he has Yevanis. That's the real problematic one because it says Lo Yotza. Now we just finished this, establishing, according to both Rav and Shmuel, that our Mishnah allows you to read the Megillah in Yevanis. And here it says Lo Yotza. So what we're hoping here is that the obvious answer to this question is that it all depends on what you understand. That there's going to be a special status to Ashuris, that anyone who hears the Megillah in Ashuris is Yotza, even though he doesn't understand Ashuris. But as far as other languages, if you don't understand it, you're not Yotza. So let's see if my theory will pan out. The Gemara is going to answer now that Rav and Shmuel were talking about one situation. And what is the situation that they're talking about? Holo damya el laha. Rav and Shmuel were talking about a case which can be reflected in the following braisa. Giftis le giftim, ivris le ivrim, elamis le elamim, Yevanis liyevanim yotza. And he does fulfill his mitzvah. And why is that? Because he understands those languages. Again, it's a little bit strange here because Rabbi Shmuel were making a big deal about Yevonis, you know, elevating Yevonis to a special status. Here, if we accept this Raisa, then Yevonis is no different than any other language, and as long as you understand that language, whether it's Greek or whether it's Coptic or whatever language it is, you're Yotze. Now, the first Braisa that we had before, which says that you're not Yotze in Yevonis, that's because you don't understand Yevonis. So I think this bears out what I said before. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if Rav and Shmuel are going to admit that any language, if as long as you understand that you're Yotze, is therefore Rav and Shmuel, amai mukmes leilu masnisim belaz Yevonis, right, when the Mishnah says that you can read Liloazim Lilotle Bilaz, and Rav and Shmuel say that that's talking about Laz Yevoni, why did they bother mentioning Laz Yevoni? So at this point, the Gemara completely changes his understanding of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel were not commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Elchinam is referring to all languages. Right? V'chi Itmar. The Mishnah is going to reflect what we just established in the Braisa, that all language is okay for those who understand that language. But Ki Idmar Deravu Shmuel the Alma Idmar. They made a separate statement. It was independent of that Mishnah. They weren't interpreting that Mishnah. Ravu Shmuel Diavri Travayu Laz Yevani La Kol Kosher. In other words, even if you don't understand Yevani, it has the same status Yevani's as Ashuris. No, so the Gemara asks, but Vaktani, the Braisa says Yevonis Yevonim in Lekuli Amalo. It says Yevonis only for Yevonim, meaning only for the Greeks who understand Yevonis. Now you're telling me that anyone could be Yotzi with Yevonis. And the Gemara answers, Inu di Omer Kerab Shim Gamliel. No, it's that Braisa that requires that the Yevonis that's being read is being understood by the Yevonim. That Braisa is like the Chachamim that would equate Yevonis with any other language, and the requirement in any other language is that you understand that language. Rav and Shmuel, on the other hand, are reflecting the Shita of Shmuel Gamliel, who elevates Yevonis to a special status, and we saw this as far as creating Kisvei HaKodesh in Yevonis. And now, once the halacha is according to Rav Shimon Gamliel that you could create a Kisvei Kodesh with all its kedusha through by writing in Yevonis, then we can establish that if you read it in Yevonis, it's no different than reading it in Ashuris, even if you don't understand. So Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Sfarim Lo Hitiru Sheikasvu El Yevonis. So you're only allowed to write Kisvei Kodesh and generate that kedusha with Yevonis. So basically, Rav and Shmuel are poskening here like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not with regard to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah would equate Yevonis with any other language. But Rav and Shmuel accept the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, which elevates Yevonis to a special status. And therefore, even if you don't understand the Yevonis that you're hearing, you could be Yotze. No, the Gemara is making an equation here between Ksivas Kisvei HaKodesh and Kriya. If the ksiva is okay and it can generate Kisvei HaKodesh, and that's not limited to Megillas Esther, that would apply to any of the 24 holy books of the Rit. If you read it in that language, because that language has now been acceptable for Kisvei HaKodesh to generate Kedusha Sefer, then you yotze even if you don't understand it, because it's exactly the same as Ashur is. So the Gemara asks a technical question here. V'lemra, why did Rav and Shmuel make this cryptic statement, which we misunderstood? Why didn't they just say straightforward, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, we have the Mishnah records machlokas. Why didn't they just pask it? Oh, I'mri Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's room for error over here. I would have thought, Hani mili shar svaris. Maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel elevates the status of Yevonis to that of Ashuris with regard to 23 out of the 24 holy books. Avol Megillah that siv by kiksavam, because of the pasuk it says kiksavam, which implies only lashon kodesh, is ema lo. I would have thought that you cannot create Kisvei HaKodesh by writing a Megillah in Yevonis. Kamash malon. That's what Rav and Shmuel therefore teach us, that Rav and Shimon Gamliel's ruling and his reasoning applies even to Megillah. Okay. So this is where we got up to yesterday. Now we start the new sugya. Loes sheshom ashuris yotza. So the Gemara asks, "V'holo yodi my ka'amri." Okay, very nice that you heard it in the original, in Ashuris, in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, but you didn't understand what was going on. Now, obviously, the premise that underlies this maksha is that the mitzvah of Kriya Samagil is not just some sort of mechanical mitzvah of Kriya alone, it's Kriya with Havana. Like, for example, you remember yesterday that we saw in the Seder HaAruch that the poskim say you should translate the Haggadah into the vernacular. Why? Because the mitzvah Sipriyatis Mitzrayim requires Havana. If you don't understand what you're reading, so that's not you're not re-experiencing the redemption. Here also, we're meant to re-experience the redemption from Havan, from Gzeres Havan. You have to understand what's going on. So the Gemara, like a good Jew, answers one question with another question.
That's true.
I have another question to ask you. Midi dehavi anoshim v'ami ha'aretz. Let me ask you a question about women or men who have not studied. They don't understand Ashuris. They're totally amaratzim in the fullest sense. And we never excluded them from Megillas Esther and fulfilling their mitzvah. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't quote any proof. You know, it's in the Hava, meaning the premise was that if you don't understand the Megillah, it's meaningless. And now the Gemara is saying if you don't understand the Megillah, you are Yotze. Like, the Gemara just sort of like backtracks almost. But I guess what the Gemara means is that since we're talking about masses of people, we never found that all these masses of people are excluded and disqualified from Megillah. It must be they fulfill that mitzvah. And the Gemara is going to explain why in just a minute. Maskif la Ravina. So Ravina says, again, I don't understand what maskif la means. Maskif is usually an objection, but here it's not really an objection.
Right.
He's really supporting what the Gemara just said, that even though you don't understand the Megillah, you can be Yotzei. And I'll prove it to you from Otto Anan. Do we understand Ha'achter Turanim B'nei HaRamachim? We don't know what these are. Different types of camels, apparently. Mi Adi'inon. Do we understand what these mean? And yet, everyone's Yotzei their mitzvah. But yet, that could be because we understand, you know, Ruben to Ruben, 99% of the Megillah. I don't know if that's equivalent to someone who doesn't understand the language in which the Megillah is being read, but the Gemara already wants to say, I have a precedent. You don't have to understand every single word. And if you don't have to understand every single word, I guess the Gemara is putting forward the agenda that in Megillah says the, you just have to know what the punchline is. You know, what's the basic line in the Megillah? You know, the Hatzolah, the Yeshua, and that's what you have to know. And that's what Gemara says. Ela mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. Rather, the mitzvah here is reading it and persume nes. Meaning, not that you have to understand every word, but there has to be persume nes. Now Rashi here, Persume Nisa, adds a few words here. It's towards the end of the Rashi on this Amud. He says, Afal Pishe Yodim Ashishomim, we're talking about ignorant people, but nevertheless they're very curious. So therefore, Sholim is Ashomim, they ask those who do understand the Megillah, the Omrim, and they find out, Mahi Akriya Hazu, what's the nature of this reading? The Echoya Nes, Umodian Lahem. So yeah, you don't have to understand the Megillah. Rashi seems to say, on the other hand, you do have to know the punchline of the Megillah, what it's all about, the Nes. And you'll find that out by asking other people. So it's kind of like there's an external way that you're going to find out, not through the Kriya itself, and then you hear the Kriya in Ashuris and your Yotzei. So the Gemara says, Ela mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. Oh, if that be the case, then let's go, and that's true for all of us, because there are certain words that none of us understand in the Megillah, And that's going to be true for a major representation of the populace who don't understand Ashuris. So you have your mitzvahs kriya, kriya meaning without havana, but you have pirsum anes because, as Rashi says, that they'll find out. Out of curiosity, they'll inquire. Is hachinami here too, in a case of people who don't understand a single word of Ashuris, nevertheless they'll fulfill that mitzvah. Mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. And the Gemara is equating those who don't understand part of the Megillah with those who don't understand a single word of the Megillah. And that's what we have over here. Now, I'm a little bit, I vacillate back and forth. When the Gemara says kriya upersume nisa, are these two different elements, two different dimensions of the mitzvah? Well, we're not talking about Kriyas HaTorah. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about reading the Megillah B'Torah's Torah, or Talmud Torah, if you will. So there's a mitzvah of Kriya, the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. You see, if let's say we introduce the Bahag Sheet, or the Bahag Sheet is that a man is Chayev in Kriya, a woman is not Chayev in Kriya, she's only Chayev in Shmiya. Maybe HaShmiya is enough for Pirsum HaNes. So maybe there are two dimensions to Mikra Megillah. Two parts to the mitzvah. One is Kriya, and the other is Pirsum HaNes.
The mitzvah of Kriya for someone who doesn't understand the language is just say the words.
Correct. It's mechanical Kriya, okay, without understanding. Kriya without Havana. And that's enough to be Mekayim Kriya. But you have to add Pirsum HaNes. There's another key of Pirsum HaNes. Now, in the case of Noshim, according to the Bahag, there's no mitzvah of Kriya, but there's a mitzvah of Shmiya. So if we were writing this Gemara based on the Bahag, for the benefit of the lady folk, we would write, Ela mitzvahs Shmiya upirsum meinisa. So whether or not you're reading the Megillah or you're hearing the Megillah, in the case of a woman, she's obligated to hear the Megillah according to the Bahag, there's an additional obligation of Pirsum HaNes. Now, what I'm baffled by is, let me ask you the following question. What would be if an Am HaAretz heard the Megillah, he doesn't understand a single word, it was read in Ashuris, and he wasn't curious, he did not ask anybody?
What happens?
Does he get a Kiyum HaMitzvah? I think in that case he'd be missing the second element, the dimension of Pirsum HaNes. Now, is there an independent mitzvah of Kriya, even without Pirsum HaNes? That's why I don't know. Maybe Kriya, Pirsum HaNes go together, like hand in hand. You have to have both. So the mechanical Kriya, although you don't understand the words, but nevertheless, it's a Kriya Sheyesh Bo Pirsum HaNes, and so far as he's curious and he asks, and they tell him about it. What can we say? So if we go with that direction, that Pirsum HaNes is really a qualification or a description of Kriya. It's got to be a Kriya Sheyesh Bo Pirsum HaNes. Now you'll ask me, but the Am HaAretz, how is that a Kriya Sheyesh Bo Pirsum HaNes? The answer is, says Rashi, Modiyin Lo. He's going to find out. Well, we say no, that there are two kiyumim. One is independent of the other. One is Kriya, one is Pirsum HaNes. So you could have the Kriya element, or in the case of an Isha Shmiya, even without Pirsum HaNes. Like for example, if a person heard the Megillah, didn't understand the word, and he wasn't curious for whatever reason, would he have to read the Megillah again? So I would say, well, maybe not, because he was in fulfillment of Kriya. Obviously, he's missing Pirsum HaNes, but nevertheless, Kriya alone is enough. Why? Because the Kriya lends itself to Pirsum HaNes. You know, all you need is the potential. So Pirsum HaNes tells you that you need a potential for Kriya, and then if you actually befall a Mefarsim the Nes because you find out about it, that's an additional kiyum. But the kiyum of Kriya, insofar as it lends itself to Pirsum HaNes, is enough of an independent kiyum. Oh, I don't know. Let's go on. Kra'a Serigin Yatza. So Serigin means with Hafsekos. So Loya Yodu Rabbanan my Serigin. The Rabbanan did, I guess the Talmidim of Rebbe, they didn't know exactly what the translation of Serigin is. Maybe Steinsaltz will tell you what language Seirigin is. It is in Aramaic, is it Greek? I don't know what language it comes from. It sounds Greek to me. Anyway, Shom'ua li'amsa debei Rebbe. Now the Gemara gives a whole bunch of stories about the, you know, the maidservant of Rebbe. She had picked up by osmosis a lot of knowledge. And they overheard her, the Ka'amral Hula Rabbanon. She was talking to the Rabbanon. Which Rabbanon? Davi Eile, that came into Beit Rebbe, piske, like a group at a time.
It's apparently the comment of the Bnei Yeshua and the Svasemis on my Seogin.
Nice, meaning why didn't the Gemara know the Pnei Yeshua is going to try to explain?
What's the question, I guess?
The Pnei Yeshua can't accept that they didn't know what the word Seirigin
means. Is that it?
I'll read to you in my language. He says, the Svasemis says, he says, Yodu my Seirgin, Hasafik Shalhem Hoya, Impir Seirgin, who Shemaspik Harbe Zman, Shemafsik Harbe Zman, Vikay Nishma means to say that Afil Bechai Gamli Yotza, Oshizek Gerin Hainu Beposek Hefsek Ma'at.
Right, that's good.
Lachen kasha shomu mi the Rebbe shafa chachamim holchu piski below show harve. So there was no great shahir between the two, and that's also called serigin. So then all we know about serigin in our Mishnah, which is kosher, these yotzei, is only if there were short interruptions, hefsekos, between one and the other. Ad mosatem nichnasim serigin serigin. Now I wonder why was she bothered by this? Did she advocate that all the rabbis should come in together?
What's going on here?
It sounds like she's critiquing the chachamim here. I don't know why.
Look for a comment, but I don't see a comment.
No, I don't see any comment either. Yeah. No, so I'm just saying, you know, if I was, it could be, I'll tell you what it is, John. I would say that maybe the Rebbe doesn't have to repeat himself. And this I can tell you from experience. And again, I'm not judging anyone, and I don't want to blame anyone, but when people come in one by one, and they don't come in on time, it's a little bit of a pressure psychologically, because it means that I have to repeat myself. Because I realize that so-and-so came in, he didn't hear the first part of the shiur, and he does. So maybe, instead of being machbid on Rebbe and making it such a hassle that he has to repeat himself, why don't the rabbis come in together? I don't think that she was advocating that 1,000 rabbis come into the house of Rebbe simultaneously, but let's say the shiur was for 30 people. So why did they come in 5 at a time? But if what I say is correct, then Taka'ino Chinami, why do they come, you know, in drips and drabs?
You know? Going to hear Rebbe, why would you come in little by little by little? You would come there.
Right, so I'm trying to figure out, what were they, lazy? I mean, these are the Talmidim of Rebbe. I don't think that they were lazy.
It makes no sense. Okay.
So maybe they were involved in other mitzvahs, and therefore they had to make a shikul, should they come in or not? And maybe Rebbe himself would have encouraged them to come in, but she was Doresh, you know, b'kvod Rebbe. Okay, now the Gemara tells another story. Lo havi yadi rabbanon.
Right now, we're just trying to establish the meaning of seirgin.
Right, so, and we're saying it means short hefsek.
So
we don't know about a long hefsek. That's the way this was said.
Lo
havi yadi rabbanon my chalod logos. Which is a kind of a vegetable, apparently, and it's all over the place in Mishnais and Shvius and other places.
That's
what
Rashi says.
Right. Shamu aliamsa de Beit Rebbe. Again, they heard the maidservant. The Amrele lahu gavra. She was speaking to a person. The Havikah mevader. Mevader means to scatter something around. harpachine, which is again a certain type of a vegetable. And she said, instead of calling it parpachine, which he translates into English as purslane, which I'm not sure exactly, I think it's kind of like a garlic kind of thing, it's some sort of spice. So she uses that word as a synonym for parpachine. So now we know what chaloglogecha is. It's parpachine. Now we don't necessarily understand what parpachine are, but lo havi yodi rabbanon mai salsaleha usarom mecha. So this is a pasuk in Mishle, and they didn't know what the word salsaleha means. Shamu al yamsa de rebi. The Havius Amra Lahu Gavra, she spoke to a person. She seems to be a real mashgiach. Yeah, she's always giving Musa. The Havi Mahapif Ben Mazye, he was curling his hair, and Amrale Ad Masay Tov Salsel Besarecha. How long are you going to be Misalsel, meaning to curl your hair? Now, how does this reflect back on the pasuk in Mishle, Salsaleha Usarom Mecha? This is a reference to Torah, the study of Torah. And what Mishle is saying is that you should delve into the Torah. Now, salsaling means you delve into something, you turn it over, like when you curl something, you turn it over. So turn it over and over, via Rom Mecha, and this will exalt you. What does the pasuk mean in Tehillim? It says Hashlech al Yudke Vovke Yehavecha. What's Yehavecha? Again, we're finished with Amasa de Rebbe, but now we have Omer Rabba Barbachana Zimden Chadavi Azilna Bahadi Ahu Taya. And very often in Shas, you'll see this Taya. He's like an Arab traveler, or maybe he was the camel driver or so. Anyway, I was traveling with this Arab, the Kadarina Tuna. I was carrying a burden, a masa, on my back. The Omer Li, he said, I guess as he was riding him on the camel, Shkol Yavecha, take your burden, and Shdei, throw it down agamle on my camel. It's so stupid of you, because why you have to carry it if you're on my camel? Put it on the camel. The camel's carrying. He's carrying both the weight that of your body and the weight of the burden that's on your body. You might as well put it down on the camel's back. Imagine a person sitting in the back of an agala and he's holding weight. Just put it on the floor. And now we go back to the pasuk itself in Tehillim. Hashlech al Hashem Yehov Chova Hui Chalkalecha. Cast your burden upon Hashem, like put it on Hashem's shoulders, and He will sustain you. In other words, you have to have bitacha. That's the basic idea of this pasuk in Tehillim.
Shanja's comment here is Omed Zemivim O Dugma Os the Shel Pirush Hamilim Shinodu Lachachamim Mipi Hediotos.
Right. The whole story here, the whole Chagadya, are sometimes from an ordinary person you learn language. Yes, that's, we don't learn halacha from such a person.
That's very interesting.
But language we do learn.
And you're saying that our women, the Amsa, is Rebbe.
She was the one, by the way, in the Gemara Ksubas that actually finished up Rebbe's life, so to speak. But what happened was when Rebbe was very ill, the Gemara tells us that the Talmidim were praying on behalf of Rebbe. And she knew that Rebbe was suffering so much, so she went up to the roof and she took a big pottery and she threw it down from the roof, and it made a tremendous noise. At that moment, the Rabbanu was so shocked, they were silent, and Rebbe died.
I think, if I remember correctly, remember we went on a weekend in, up north, and we visited Beit Sharim, because there's, I think Rebbe may be even buried there, cemetery there. So this story
came up. So here's another pasuk in Yeshayahu and Novi. Lo avi yadi rabbonim mai. What does it mean? Vete teisia b'matate or b'matate hashmed. Right? Something about destruction. So this is like a foretelling of destruction. Shavuali Amsa Debe Rebbe. Oh, so now we're back to the Amsa Debe Rebbe. Tahavis Omer Lechaverta. She was speaking to one of her friends and said to her friend, Shkoli, take for me Tatese, a broom, Vitati Bese, and sweep up the house. Now, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Yeshaya? I will sweep away with a broom of sweep it away with a broom of destruction. This is foretelling destruction. Torah Rabbana. Now we go back to the halacha, back to Megillah. Karo Seirgin Yotza. So he read it with Hefsekus is Yotza. So now we turn to Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. Seirsin Lo Yotza. The Brisa says, however, if he reads it, Rashi says on top L'mafreya out of sequence, he has not fulfilled his obligation.
Not Seirgin, but rather Seirsin
is already L'mafreya. We read it out of order.
That's important.
Now we have a sugya of what. What does the Mishnah mean that Seirgin is kosher? And we spoke earlier about the Sfasemis, that how long of a hefsek was there in the case of Seirgin. So that's what Rav Muna addresses. Rav Muna Omer Mishum Rav Yehuda Af B'Seirgin, even though the Mishnah says that you could be Yotze B'Seirgin, but don't take that as an absolute unqualified rule. And it's not going to apply in the following case. Here it's going to be possible. You're not Yotze. Im Shaha Kidei Ligmar as Kula. If he had a hefsek, which equals the duration of time that it would take to read the entire Megillah, is Chozel Rosh, then he has to read the Megillah again from the beginning. Meaning that the word Seirgin has to be qualified. Don't think it's unqualified. In any case of Seirgin, you're Yotze. And now the Gemara says, "On Rabbi Yosef, halachikar of Mavmuna Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda." That's how we paskin. But now the Gemara says, "Well, what does it mean? Kidei Ligmar Eskula? Is it from that point where you took a hefsek, or the amount of time it would take to read the entire Megillah?" Amalei Abayla of Rabbi Yosef, Kidei Ligmar Eskula. What does this mean? A, does it mean Mehecha Dekoy from the point that he got up to Lesefa until he gets to the end? O Dilma B, mi ratio l'seifa. The amount of time it would take from the beginning of the Megillah to the end. Now, I asked Mitch Wolf, he's a Balkori, how long does it take to read the Megillah? He told me, I think, 25 minutes. I don't know. Is that with Haman, with Gragas, without? I don't know. So it's very confusing to me what the Gemara means over here.
I have another question, which is, Mitch is a Balkori, and there are other people who are Balkori, meaning who've been doing this for years, right? So,
right.
When you read the Megillah, a lot of it is in your memory. So, what you're reading in the Megillah, but it's very much about Peh because it's in your mind already. So, it's really.
Amalei Mireshal is safer. Which is a kula. Rav Yosef says to Abaye that what Rav Muna had in mind is that he was mafsik kidei ligmar's kula from beginning to end, miresha l'seifa. Diim came, because if you take the other approach, that is from the point you got to until the end of the Megillah, nasata l'rech l'shirim, there's no objective, absolute ruling here about what constitutes a hefsek. And it all depends upon where you're up to. So we don't want
fast you read. Yeah.
Right, we don't want to get a situation where the halacha varies. You know, there's a changing variable in the halacha. We would like to objectify. So the length of time here that would disqualify the Megillah should be set. It should be uniform. It should be objective, and that means kidei mirachal is safer to begin and to end. So we would have to take out. I don't have with me here. A Shulchan Aruch to look this up. Let me just see if by chance in one of these notes he'll tell me what exactly is the shear of Kidei Ligmar Eskula. Let me see. It says Mireisha L'Seifa.
I have the Shulchan Aruch quoted here in the footnote.
All right, so let me see if I have it as well. We'll both read it together at the same time.
He says, Serugin, that's what we're interested in.
Well, no, I was, well, what's Miracial with Seifa?
Okay,
but so then it'll probably be in the same
yeah,
Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, read it out loud, because I don't know if I'm going to find it
okay.
Right now.
Koros Megillah is Serugin. Shepasak be'emtza akriya b'shoa. Imshich likro mimpokom shepasak.
Right.
Filo shah kidei ligmor es kula yotza kidiver rav. Filo hifzika korei v'soch ba'emtza yotza.
So he's not accepting Rav Muna.
Right.
Okay, so that's not going to help me.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, according to this sugya of Rav Muna, what would exactly be Miracial Sefer, which means Kedei Ligmor Kula. I don't know what Kedei Ligmor Kula would be.
Yeah.
Like I said before, you know, different people read it at different,
right,
at different speeds. Maybe it means that for him, you know, how long it would take him to read the Megillah. That particular one. But then again, that would also reflect Nasata Dvarich Lashiuri. And it's really a shifting variable here. So I don't know what the answer to that question is. All right, let's go on. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Yiri Abba Omar Rav, Halacha Kirabi Muna. But Shmuel Amar Ein Halacha Krebi Muna.
This is about Av Peserugin, right?
Right. This is when he was Mafsik Kedei Ligmar Eskula. So the Gemara has a machlokas here. If he made a hefsek Kedei Ligmar Eskula, whether it's possible like Rav Muna, and as a matter of fact, Rav seems to accept Rav Muna, but Shmuel seems to say Ein Halacha Kirav Muna. So you'll never disqualify the Megillah reading, even if you had a long, long hefsek of Kedei Ligmar Eskula. Besura Masna Hachi. In Surah they had a slightly different version. No, I'm sorry. In Surah, that's the version that we just had. So Shmuel is the Machmir. I'm sorry. Shmuel is the Megill. But Pupadisa Masna Hachi, they have the other way around. Omrav Kanam Arav Halacha Kerabi Muna. Oh, so no. Nothing changed except for the fact that it's Rav Kana Omar Rav. Okay, it's slightly different. But now the Gemara says, Rav Bibi Masni Ibch. Oh, now we understand Rav Bibi. Rav Omar Ein Halach Krav Muna. So Rav is the Mekil.
Yeah.
And he says, no matter how long you are Mafsik, it's okay. Shmuel Omar Halach Krav Muna, because Shmuel in general is a Machmir, as we'll see in a second. So it means that if we accept Rav, then Ein Halacha Krav Huna, and that's Krav Huna, and that's exactly what you read in the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
Amar Rav Yosef, the Kot Rav Bibi Biyodech, accept the principle of Rav Bibi, the Shmuel Hu Dechai Shli Yechido, that Shmuel is Machmir against the majority, and he passes like a Yechido, even if it's one Das Yechidi. This now we learned in the Mishnah in Yevamos. It says Shomeres Yavam. So what's a Shomeres Yavam? Right, she lost her husband and he left a brother. She's childless. Well, I should say he's childless, meaning he doesn't have any zera. Right. Now the question is, what if she has two Yevamos? Two Yavams, meaning there are two brothers.
Two brothers.
So in other words, there were three brothers, one died, and we're left with two brothers. So the question is the Zikas Yibum Chal vis-a-vis both brothers, or it's only Chal vis-a-vis one brother? And then Afkamina would be if the other brother goes ahead and marries her sister.
Mm.
Because the law is that the Yavam is not allowed to marry any of the relatives of the Yavam, because that's going to undermine the mitzvah of Yibum. So for example, let's say Leah falls for Yibum, the Yavam is not allowed to marry Rachel.
So what is it meant by Shomeres Yavam?
So Shomeres Yavam means right after the death, of the brother before either Yibum or Chalitza. At that point, when we call Zika, that's called the Shomeres Yavam. Now she's waiting for the Yavam to take one of two options, either Yibum or Chalitza. And now what happens is this Yavam has a brother, meaning the deceased had two brothers. And the second brother now went ahead and he was Makadish Achosa. Now, normally the Yavam is not allowed to marry her sister because that would make her into Achos Ishto, and that would undermine the possibility of Yibum. But what about another brother? Is he allowed to marry her sister? I mean, he's not in the parish of Yibum. Or do we say no? That the Zika is on all the brothers. It's not singular to one brother. So the Mishnah records the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Bishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Samru, Orim lo hamtein ad sheyasa chicha gadol maisa. This was Kiddushin. And the question is he allowed to marry her and consummate the marriage with Nisuin? And the answer is no. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, he's not allowed to do that because he's also a Yavam and he also has a Zikas Yim to her, and therefore he's not allowed to marry her sister.
And that applies to all brothers then.
Right. Now the Chachamim never accepted the Shita Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. They held that the Zikas Yibum is concentrated on one particular Yavam, and the other brother is not included in the Zika, and therefore they allowed him to marry her sister. And Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, even though we usually paskin like the Rabbim, Yochid Rabbim Halacha Rabbim, here, because Shmuel was always choshesh for the sheet of the Yochid, Lechumra, and therefore he told the brother not to get married, not to consummate the marriage, meaning with Nisuin. So that's just one example. The Gemara could have quoted many other examples where Shmuel follows the Machmir.
That's the point here.
Even though he's a Das Yochid, against the Chacham, against the Rabbim.
But the Halacha apparently follows well.
So that would mean that Shmuel, in our discussion about Megillah, would take the Shita of Rav Muna, and he would paskin that if he was Shoah, Mafsi Kidei Ligmar's Kula Biracial Sefer, then the Megillah reading is possible, and he would require that you read it again. So it makes sense there that we accept the version of Rabbi Bibi because this principle of Rav Bibi is borne out by Shmuel's consistent minog, so to speak, I mean his behavior pattern of always paskening like the Yechida Lechumra, meaning Chayish LeYechida. I would assume the briskers fit into this Shmuel category. You know, the briskers are always trying to be yotzei all shita. So even if you have one shita that's not the accepted view, they'll try to be machmir for that shita. Tana Rabbanon, Hishmid bas sofer osios opsukim. So there are letters or even full verses that are omitted from the Megillah. I think another case the Gemara could have given would be where some of the letters got erased from the Megillah. Ukrana kore kimiturgamon hamitargen. Basically, it means he read it bal peh, because, like you said before, the bal kore is a very well experienced bal kore. He knows the Megillah in his mind, so he filled it in. The Gemara gives a mashal like a miturgamon who translates. Notice he did it from memory. Right, the miturgamon was the one who back in the day after the Takkot of Ezra would translate the Kriya Satorah into the spoken language. And obviously he knew the text, he understood the reading of the Torah very well, and therefore he was able to create some sort of simultaneous translation.
Ishmael goes so far, Osios, Opsukim, the whole, if you were just.
Right, full Psukim.
Yeah, say the whole
Psukim. It's got to be less than Rove.
I think that's right.
Meisvei aleski kasha, hoyba osios mitush toshos omikoros. We have a brisa that talks about letters that were unclear. You know, they were partially smudged, or possibly there was a rip in the letters. In rishumam nikar kshera. In other words, if there's some way of reading those letters then the Megillah is still kshera, even though they're mitush tashos, they're partially rubbed out. But if he cannot read those letters, psula. Now we just finished saying that you could have a Megillah with letters that are missing, or full words that are missing, or verses that are missing. So why would the Braisa here disqualify the case of Ein Rishum Amnika? Okay, Ein Rishum Amnika should not be any worse than letters that were omitted, right? That were what was the word that we used before? Excuse me. I'm sorry. What was the word that we used? Psukim. I'm sorry. Hishmit, right? Hashmata. In other words, the Gemara is saying that if Hashmata is still kosher, then Ein Rishum Amnika for sure should still be kosher. Lokasha Havakula Havamiktsasa. So one price is invalidating the Megillah when it has illegible letters. We're talking about the whole Megillah basically is illegible. But Havamiktsasa, but if we're missing some of the words, but most of the Megillah is there, then the Megillah is kosher. So you can have an omission of words, or for that matter, effacing of words, and they're illegible, but it's only the Miktsasa, and then the Braisa would allow you to use that Megillah. But if it's Kula, now how do you take this Gemara? Is Kula literally? Doesn't mean everything? It doesn't mean entirely illegible, but it means most of the letters are illegible, or most of the words were omitted. Now, I don't know how you know exactly what's half of a Megillah. So there's a whole discussion about this in the Poskim, the Tiri Eber, the Shartzi, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about this. What happens if the section that was missing was in the beginning of the Megillah, or the end of the Megillah, that automatically passes the Megillah, but if it's in the middle of the Megillah, then it depends on Rov and Miut, and what's the Din of Mechza and Mechza. All this is discussed in the Poskim. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan, Hishmit Ba HaKori Pasuk Echad. If let's say while he was reading it, he omitted a Pasuk, Lo Yomer, he shouldn't say Ekras Kula, and I'll continue to reading it, the Akaf Ekras Pasuk, because that would be Miserig, that would be out of order, El Kori Meoso Pasuk Vielik, he goes back to the Pasuk that he omitted, and he should read it from there. Nichnas Abeis HaKnesses Matzah Tzim. Okay, this is already a different case. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. So then Mirz Hashem on Sunday, maybe some of the Chevra are going to return on Sunday. We'll know exactly where we're up to. Okay. So that's
where I'm going. It's Monday, because I have to go to the doctor.